Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you whom among I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own shells will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And this is God's word. Paul and Tanya know that. Someone needs to move their car, a V758 HMS Toyota. Thanks, Paul. Paul's also our mission director here at the church. You didn't realize that we planned that you would come and you would see him at the front. Paul and Tanya know that there are a lot of differences between Chewoko Hospital and Hamilton Road Baptist Church, Bangor, and Bangor itself. From the photos that you've shown me, we dress a little bit differently. And I know Paul struggles with the fact that time happens a little bit differently. The roads are a little bit different to the nice road to Belfast. But as I was reflecting just this afternoon, I was thinking that while we dress differently, while we might even think a little bit differently, while time might be a little bit different, the human heart's the same. Whether it's here in Bangor or whether it's in Chihoko Hospital in Uganda, wherever a human might find themselves in the world tonight or this morning, depending on what part of the world they're in, the human heart's the same. And tonight, for a few moments, I want us to look at this passage and to see Paul, the missionary pastor. I want us to see Paul, the missionary pastor. And he calls for the Ephesian elders because he knows that these are going to be some of the last days of his life on this earth. He had spent so much time with the church at Ephesus. He was a pioneering church planter. He was the best cultural missionary the world perhaps has ever seen. But he knows that his time is short, and he wants to pass on some final instructions to them. And so I hope, Paul and Tanya, tonight, that from Paul the Apostle's words, that you will find some help tonight as you go back again to Chiwoko Hospital. But we are delighted to have CMS Ireland here tonight and their main man, their director, Ronnie, here tonight. But I wonder how he would have thought if Paul the Apostle had applied to be part of CMS Ireland. I read this letter this week that someone drew up in response to Paul the Apostle applying to be part of their mission agency. And they replied to him, "Dear Dr. Paul, we have received your application to serve with our mission, but unfortunately the board was unanimous in deciding not to accept you as a candidate with our mission. We want to be as honest as possible so that you can address what we see as some serious deficiencies in your character and your past service. Firstly, we understand that you've never had sufficient financial support in your missionary labours. Working on the side to support yourself is unacceptable to this board. If a man does not have the faith to trust God for full support, we think that he's not qualified to serve with our mission. Second, we've heard that you've been a bit brash and outspoken about your views. Specifically, we heard that you criticized Dr. Simon Peter and that you contended so strongly with some of our ministers that a special council had to be convened at Jerusalem to prevent a church split. We cannot condone such radicalism. We are enclosing a copy of Darius Carnegie's book, How to Win Jews and Influence Greeks. We encourage you strongly to read it. Also, we understand that you've not graduated from an accredited seminary or Bible college, and we are glad that you learned a lot during your 3 years in Arabia, but really, that doesn't count. Also, in our background check, we discovered that you used to be a violent man to the point of persecuting the church. Even since your conversion, you've been put in jail on more than one occasion. You caused so much trouble for the businessmen of Ephesus that it led to a riot. If that were an isolated incident, that might be one thing, but a pattern of causing enough trouble to lead your people beaten on several occasions and being stoned once shows an underlying problem on your part. We would advise a counseling program where you could learn some basic relational skills. Our background check further revealed that you have numerous critics and enemies, even in some of the churches that you supposedly founded. Some of those critics in Corinth challenged whether it was you or Apollos who had the most influence there. We also learned the details about your falling out with a young minister, John Mark, and your refusal to cooperate with Barnabas. We even talked with Hymenaeus and Alexander, who said that you delivered them over to Satan. We believe that such extreme measures are uncalled for. A more tolerant and less judgmental approach would be more in the spirit of our mission and indeed Jesus himself. Apart from these serious flaws, we've heard that you're prone to preach a little too long. Not being sensitive to your audience, we heard that one young man actually fell to his death while you droned on and on and on. You need to get in tune with a younger generation, Paul, that has been raised on TV, internet and social media. 2 or 3 minute YouTube-like sermons are the maximum that they can endure. We advise you to use more stories and less Bible. You admit in your application that you cannot remember those who you've even baptized. A good record-keeping system would help you to be a little bit more organized. Also, your resume shows that you've never ministered in one place longer than 3 years. This pattern of moving on to new work shows that you lack perseverance. Our staff psychologist also suggests that it might reflect a pattern of running from your problems rather than a commitment to your work through them. We share all of these things out of love and concern for you. We want you to succeed in whatever the Lord has for you, but we strongly believe that you would do best in perhaps another mission. The stresses of the mission field could lead to a complete nervous breakdown. Perhaps a good Christian counselor could help you to begin work through some of your many issues. We wish you God's best. Sincerely, the Antioch Missions Board." So it looks like the Apostle Paul, based on his resume, may not have been accepted. But Paul and Tanya, the Bible clearly tells us that God has put his treasure in jars of clay. We are easily broken. We are weak. We struggle with our own sin. But Paul was saying, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, that the Lord Jesus Christ has put his glorious light and his glorious hope and gospel in earthen vessels or jars of clay. Why? To show the surpassing greatness of who he is. And so Paul the Apostle here bleeds his missionary heart to the elders at Ephesus. And the first thing he does with them, he reviews the past, as you have done tonight. In verse 18, it says this, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. I love Paul's heart for people. You see, he was a missionary pastor. He wasn't some sort of missionary that lived up in an ivory tower and didn't come down to live among the people. But Paul was able to say with these Ephesian elders, he says, you know me. The word he uses is gnosko. It's an experiential knowledge. He says, you could see me. You ate with me. You slept in the same village I slept with. You could see me with your eyes. You could touch me with your hands. And yet, doesn't that sound a little bit like how John recorded how the Lord Jesus came and ministered on this earth? In 1 John 1 verse 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Paul and Tanya, as you review the past, be with people. Be with people. The Apostle Paul clearly was able to point back to them in his past and said, I was available to you. I loved you. I was with you. And so too was the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 20, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. If you skip down to verse 31, you'll also see that he says these words, remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. He goes on in verse 33, I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul worked hard. In fact, he said to another church that he was in agony to see Christ formed in others. And Paul and Tanya in Uganda, the work of the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ is agonizing at times. You know, from your first 2.5 years, there's times when you were lying back in bed at night and you're wondering, is this all worth it? Are we making any difference? Paul was saying, you knew me. You knew the difference that I made. You knew the gospel that I preached. And so he is encouraging them as he's passing on the baton to these Ephesian elders. He said, I'm no longer going to be with you, but you know all about my life and my doctrine. He didn't just say all these words and live up in some ivory tower. He said, I came and lived among you. You know me. So Paul and Tanya work hard, live among the people, and share Christ with them. Paul really gives three particular points of application. In verse 19, he talks about serving in humility. And Paul and Tanya, as you review the past and you look forward to the future, serve in humility. In that lovely Christian hymn in Philippians 2, verse 5, Paul says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Being found in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has now exalted him to the highest place and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in Uganda, in Bangor, in Belfast, in Castlederg, wherever you come from tonight, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the sort of humility that God is looking for in my life and in your life and in our lives tonight. Serving humility. Paul also taught them sound doctrine in verse 20. And so as you go back to Uganda, continue to teach sound doctrine. We have talked together about being a disciple who makes disciples. That your legacy will outlive you for many, many, many generations. Serve in humility. Teach sound doctrine. And be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's where Paul takes us in verse 22. He reviews the past firstly, but now, secondly, he looks at the present. Verse 22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I might finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God will ever see me again. Paul not only looked and lived a humble life, he not only taught sound doctrine, but he was filled with the Spirit. In fact, the text says he was compelled by or constrained by the Spirit. He is with a group of elders and he's passing on the baton to them, and he's in the latter stages of his life, and he could have said, you know what, that's me done. I've done my shift for God. I'm getting towards the old age stage of my life. I'm going to give it to the young guys. And he says, no, the Holy Spirit is compelling me and he's constraining me to go to the next part of my race. And we know those words if you've read Philippians chapter 3. He realized that he was in a race. He realized that he had been apprehended by the risen Christ for a mission. I wonder, are you focused on God's mission tonight? You see, Paul had a holy discontentment. He said, forgetting what lies behind me. You see, Paul and Tanya could say, well, we had a good 2.5 years there and everything went well and we're going to sort of live on our past successes. But Paul says, no. Forgetting what lies behind my sinful old life when I persecuted Christians and even the good life where I planted churches at Colossae and Ephesus and all over the place. He says, forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul and Tanya tonight, and you here tonight, don't let past sins hold you back from the mission that God is calling you to. Don't let successes in the kingdom building work of God hold you back. And don't rely upon those. Be like Paul, constrained by the Spirit as an older man to go to Jerusalem. It's really not your best life now if you look at verse 23. And as Paul and Tanya know, and all of you who serve Christ in any sphere of life, God just puts the paycheck through different sources. He says in verse 23, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I might finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. He said these words, in other words, in Philippians chapter 1, as an older man. He said, for me to live in this earth is purely for Christ, and to die would be far better, or would to be gain to me. He just wanted to know Christ and to make Christ known. Is that your goal tonight? Because that was Paul's goal, the missionary pastor. And I pray that that's Paul and Tanya's goal tonight, that as they go back to Choco in a couple of weeks' time, that they will want to know Christ and to make him known. To be a disciple that makes other disciples. And so Paul's looking at the present, even as an older man. The past doesn't hold him back. He's looking to the present, and then he prays for the future. He prays for the future. You see, as Paul alluded to earlier as he read to us from Ephesians 1, Paul knew that prayer was his source of power. And so he now prays for the church at Ephesus, the church that he planted. And you can imagine this emotional scene. And for Paul and Tanya, you know what it's like at the airport. With your family. Family members here know what it's like at the airport. As you're saying goodbye to ones that you love so much, and you're not going to see them for a long time. And so at this beach at Miletus, the ship is there. Paul is there with the elders, and he's given them his final words. And these are his words to them. Verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Verse 36, when he had said this, he knelt down with them all and prayed. In Paul and Tanya's mission tonight, in my mission tonight, in your mission tonight, if you know Jesus Christ, we need the power of prayer. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in Paul and Tanya's flesh, they will fall flat on their face. In my flesh, I'll fall flat on my face. In your flesh, you will fall flat on your face. Paul wanted power. He wanted to know Christ more, but he wanted more of the Holy Spirit to give him the power of Christ and to have the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And so he concludes, verse 32. And Paul and Tanya, we as a church, CMS Ireland and mission partners would give you this verse tonight. As we think about the past, as we think about your present, and as we now pray for your future, Paul says in verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul the Apostle, as an older man, even from this meeting with the Ephesian elders, wrote to young Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus. He was a young guy who got all kinds of things wrong. And he said that everyone's deserted me. He was an older man, and yet he said, the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. Paul and Tanya, keep your devotional life as the number one thing out of everything you do, because it's the Lord in whom will build us. John Piper, in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, quotes a story from a magazine. And he comments before recording the story in his book. He says, I will tell you what a tragedy is. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago. He was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in South Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. That, he records, he believes to be a tragedy. But I would rather leave you with the words of an old hymn that gives us all a little bit of a shot in the arm tonight. And I hope for Paul and Tanya, as we think about Paul the missionary pastor, as he thought about the past, as he looked at the present, as he prayed for the future, as we all think about those pillars of our lives tonight, I think these words will stimulate us all tonight. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last.